Welcome back to another episode of the Reseller's Mindset Podcast. My name is Mike, also known as the Used Book Guy on YouTube, along with my friend and fellow full-time reseller, Johnny B. We help people start and grow their reselling businesses from the ground up. We also have a weekly Zoom call and private Discord for all YouTube members. Head on over to youtube.com/usedbookguy to join the channel and gain access to the full-length podcast, Zoom call, and private Discord today. Let's get into this week's episode.
What is up, everybody? Welcome into another episode of Reseller's Mindset Podcast. This is one we look forward to. It is the end of the year. So our wins, our losses, our takeaways from this crazy, I don't know, like 2024, it's been such an up and down roller coaster. So I guess I'll just go first, Johnny. You can kind of sit there and take a little nap while I just run through my main things. Best business year for me. Worst personal life year for me. So it's weird how those two kind of like counteracted each other, but it kind of made me realize that they play on each other a little bit, because when personal things happen, it affects the business. When business things happen, it affects the personal life. So for me, I'll finish the year right around on Amazon. I'll probably do right around $120,000 in sales on Amazon. That's one of my income sources. So my best year on Amazon. And the funny part about the Amazon business, it's the least I've ever worked on Amazon. So I've kind of grew my business, got some time back, focused on other income streams. And we kind of have built our YouTube membership. We have built it, even though you're not like a face. You are a face on the channel because you're with me every single week. But it's under my name. But I do consider it's like our community. So I'll never just take sole credit for something where somebody else is here every single week and answering questions in the group. So that was a huge win. We kind of looked at that. We started out probably with around 100 members, maybe even less than 100 members. And now we have a group of over 300 people that actually pay to listen to our crazy asses and start and build Amazon businesses. So that was a huge win. But on the personal side, I had family members, unfortunately, pass away this year. One of our cats, which we treat like our children better. We treat our cats better than most people treat their kids. Top of the line food, top of the line care. So fortunately, we lost one of our cats this year. So personally, I have been beaten up over the past, and all of this has happened within the second half of the year on the personal side. So it's been a whirlwind for me. I just realized you have to appreciate the things while you have them, right? And it kind of reinforces the fact that my business model is moving towards me having more time to spend, you know, with Deb and the cats. So it just reinforces what I'm doing makes sense and trying to get ahead and trying to get out of the rat race, because we talk about it all the time and people give us shit for it. But I think we're right. Like, we don't want to be resellers forever. And I think everybody should have an exit plan. Maybe in some capacity, we still exist part time just to keep a little extra casino money in the bank account. But I think, you know, the idea of me doing this, I'm 36 years old right now. I know I look like I'm 46. I got my hair grew out for this episode, maybe just because I was going to talk about my age. But I can't see myself doing this for like another 36 years, like 72 at that point. And I'm still out here like running like 8-hour thrifting routes. Like, I just, it doesn't make sense to me. So that's kind of my little recap. I'll let Johnny throw his out there, and then we'll kind of just dive into some different topics that we've kind of, I don't know, grown on over the year.
Sure. I mean, this year is technically my first full year at Amazon. Very big experimental year of me trying to push the envelope. Had some wins, had some losses there. Making some adjustments for my business model for next year. I'll probably end the year at around 150 just in Amazon. Probably another 40 from eBay, and then probably another 20 to 25 elsewhere. So not a bad year all in all. I expect to do a lot better next year with the adjustments and the learning curve that I'm going to be doing on Amazon. This year was the first year we had no restock limits, so that was an interesting thing to go through. I think it was for the better, honestly. Everybody's able to do a lot more volume. And to that effect, I think I need to do more volume, but a little bit more higher in the STR realm versus trying to milk it for ASP. ASP is great. I love it when it happens, when you sell a $100 book that you bought for 50 cents. It's a very great feeling. But sometimes those $100 books may sit for a year or two. So wondering about cash flow and just concentrating more on that for 2025, I think is going to be my go-to. And we'll see how that shakes out. It's not that I'm not going to turn down $100 books. I'm just going to focus a little bit more on faster moving books. Had a storefront. No, I don't. And now I'm going to get another storefront next year. So that was interesting. Had an employee for half of last or this year rather. I do have a photographer now for eBay, so technically I do have an employee again. I'll probably be ramping up another employee or two next year. Probably a lister for Amazon. I plan on going out a little bit more than I have in my book cave. Another key takeaways is stopping the overanalyzing, overthinking, the critical thinking. I love doing critical thinking and theory crafting, but at the end of the day, it's just do the work. It's as simple as that. It's just you just got to do the work. I mean, the theory crafting very rarely yields out the time and effort and energy you put into the actual thinking on that. It's not that it's unnecessary, but the time involved and over analyzing that you could be more productive by just grinding it out, honestly. The group's been interesting this year. I think we're going up to a second eBay call next year. They requested it. And we tend to talk a little bit more. We do talk about Amazon a little bit, even though it's the eBay call. So that's been going good. A lot of great questions this year. That surprised me, honestly, a little bit more beyond the basics. So I expect that to continue on that trend. Networking with a lot more resellers that are in my caliber, I guess you would say, or on my level, versus me trying to network with everybody. Because surrounding yourself with as smart or smarter people, that helps me grow versus me. I'm not going to say coddling, that's the wrong word. Being around people who can't give anything back at the moment. They may be able to give back later, but they're just kind of taking and taking and taking. That's draining, and I don't get any gain out of it other than the feel good to me helping them out kind of deal. So yeah, I'd say that's helped me grow probably the most is being around more like-minded individuals, or not necessarily like-minded, just they're at the stage of the business that is similar or greater than mine. So I'm that person taking from some of those higher level people at the moment because I'm not on their level. So I think that's probably the biggest reflections.
So let's give people an understanding that we don't just sell gold bars. My ASP is going to probably wind up for the year right around $17.25. I'm curious where you have an idea of where yours is going to wind up at.
For the year, probably around $15, it looks like. And it'll
So
probably be
for
lower than that because, yeah, because price taking some stuff at the moment. I'll probably end up around low $14, I would say, all in all, for the end of the year.
So for me, that equates to selling 7,059 items on Amazon at my average ASP of 17. I'm going to do the math for you on Johnny's. So we're going to do 150 divided by, we'll just say 1425.
Sure.
10,526 items sold.
Yeah, I'm on track to do that. I've been like 9,600 sold at the moment.
I think I've realized that people want everyday value items at a good price. And I think there is something to be said about capitalizing on that. And it's hard for us to like pick and choose what to capitalize on, right? Because we're just out scanning items. But you can, because you can choose the quality of your sources. I can't choose the quality of my store. You know what the quality of your thrift stores are. You know what the quality of the pawn shops are, the record stores are. So for me, I've realized a huge revelation to me, probably over the past 2 or 3 months, is there's a lot of money to be made at lower price points in this game, especially if you have the processes to be able to list 1,000 items a week, right? 2,000 items a week. Because a $17 ASP is not high. And sure, it's great when, the $30, $40, $50 item comes through. But the majority of the money in this media game, I realize, is going to fall between the $9.99 mark and the $19.99 mark. And it's not necessarily a bad thing. It's a bad thing for people that let stuff sit around and can't get things processed. But for people like me and Johnny, where we can just knock out boxes every single week, I think it's a huge opportunity because if it's faster moving, lower profit, I've realized the cash flow you can get back, even if you're spending a dollar to make $2 or $3 at scale, outweighs sitting around waiting 6 months to get $20, $30 profit from that one single item. And it's not even close. So for me, it's been a reinforcement of, okay, well, this is where my focus needs to be. Fast moving items, even if the ASP is not as high as I expect it to be, it doesn't matter in this game because it's all about how much can you get sent in and how many times can you multiply your dollar.
100%. That was my resolution probably around the same time period as you, because I had a bunch of stuff in that range that was slower moving. And I could have done a lot better if I just had passed on those items or not sent them in and disposed of them. But it's not that they won't sell, it's just the amount of fees for those type of items they rack up. So your profitability, instead of $2 or $3, maybe a quarter. Or if you have to liquidate because your fees are outpacing what you would get on the profit, maybe negative 25 cents. The buying and holding, I think works because that was part of my model is hold at a certain price for X period of time. I think that w works to a degree. I'm going to trim that back on the time frame on the amount of time I hold. Because I do want the most money out of a single item, don't get me wrong, but I also need that item to turn over. So yeah, I think that would be another critical change I'll be making for next year. And I should see significant growth next year with the what we were just talking about and then the holding a little bit. Dismedia, I added a little bit of that in. That was actually helpful because those items in and of themselves tend to be faster moving because there's just limited amount, a more limited amount of SKUs than there are in books, which go in the millions. You're less than half a million in the disc media on either side, DVDs or CDs, and even more so if you're doing video games.
I'm gonna assume you didn't watch our Christmas call that we had, right?
No, I haven't watched yet.
All right, so I did giveaways for people, and this one was the most, revealing one for me was how many boxes I sent this year. You got a guess?
What's up, Amazon sellers? We wanted to take a second to talk about GoToLister, the software me and Johnny both use to list and manage our inventory and grow our businesses. With the fastest listing speeds out there and built-in profit analytics, it's a no-brainer. Easily and quickly have items available for sale using 2D barcodes and get more for your items with its built-in smart pricing. Make sure to check out the 30-day free trial at GoToLister.com/Mike or using the link in the description below.
425.
You think I'm some hardworking type of man, and I appreciate you thinking I'm a hard worker, but I think this is gonna knock your socks off, dude. I've only sent 158 boxes.
You go.
How is, like, that's not a lot. Let's be real. That's not a lot. You probably had weeks where you probably pushed, 100 boxes out the door when you were first started heavy back into
Yeah.
Amazon.
Where do I go to find out how many boxes I've sent?
Shipments, and then you got to sort it, and then you can do pages by 100. So then you can do a page by 100, and then you got to
Okay.
count the second page, or in your case, it'll probably be like the fifth page. But
Let's see here.
I mean, that's only 3 boxes on average a week to have the sales I have. Like, it's not hard to scale this business and make money, but you have to put in the scans, and that's where I outshine other people. There's no differentiators between me, Johnny, any other Amazon seller, especially media seller. It's all about how many items are we scanning and the quality of those items. Are they fresh items? Are they not picked over items? So for me, when I seen that, I was like, man, that's pretty crazy. Like, I only average 3 boxes a week to do the revenue I do. And yeah, that's just sales. Amazon's going to take 50%. Then I got my buy cost, probably takes another 10%. So at the end of the day, my end payout is probably around 50K, give or take a little bit. But it's still not that much work. Only 3 lazy ass boxes a week. Like, you thought I was pushing 10 boxes a week, and I'm only pushing 3 boxes a week because it's the quality of the stuff and the quantity. And you kind of brought up disc media. Everybody knows I still scan all the books. I'm the used book guy. I have to until the day I retire. But I'm finding more and more disc media. You can fit more and more disc media in a box. So if you look at a box of DVDs, 16 by 12 by 12, that's the ones I've used since day one. You can fit about 82-ish DVDs, 180 CDs. versus books, you're only going to get between like 28 and like 40 books, depending on how big they are. So the quantity of my inventory is probably a lot higher because of the disc media focus I kind of have, even though it's really not a focus because I scan everything every single time. But I just want people to realize that only 158 boxes, if I told anybody out here to go get 3 boxes a week of profitable books, CDs, DVDs to send to Amazon, and you could, build a nice business like I have without putting in a lot of work or a lot of time, I think everybody would sign up for that. But for some reason, we can't sign up for it. When the signups are wide open, I'm not stopping anybody from signing up for it. And you do your math, or you're counting still in your head. He's still counting over there. All right, I'm gonna keep going here. You kind of hit on the group, and I can't say this enough, and this might sound cheesy, but I'm grateful for the group because it allows me not to kind of be in any of these other groups. So everybody there is focused on the same goal, making money selling media on Amazon and eBay. People love Johnny's eBay call. And like you said, he'll be doing 2 calls every single month next year. That's a change we've decided to make. And you don't have to have all the other noise because there's a lot of noise in the reselling realm. Everywhere you look, there's a million different groups, free groups, paid groups. They're all over the place. And me kind of being the forefront of my own group allows me to block all that garbage shit out that's out there. And I mean, yes, there's groups out there that make sense, like text group 100%. But I'm not involved in anything. I'm not like an active person out there in some of these groups. And when I am, I'll tell you right now, dude, I was in a Facebook group. I scroll through Facebook sometimes. I'm in some of these free groups. Boy, oh boy, you would have to pay me lots and lots of money to sit in there because it is mind-numbingly, painfully depressing, and it's just lots of crybaby. So I'm grateful that like the people we got in the group are actually taking action. They got smart questions. People give them smart answers. Overall, it takes a lot off me, allows me to get some of my time back, and I'm appreciative for it. So how many boxes have you sent?
638.
Jeez.
Yeah. And my inventory is drastically higher than yours. But see, that's what I'm saying. For the higher STR items, you have less in inventory than me. You've sent in less items than me. But yet we're very comparable in the end result of our numbers. I'm still higher, of course, but just because of sheer volume, I had that on my side. But I think it's not that I won't work less. I will just work differently. Every book can go on Amazon and eventually will sell on Amazon more than likely. There, and I'm not talking the extreme one-offs you people in the comments are about to blast me with, but there's a better way for more profitability to do it. And then just gearing that at scale, I think I can do tremendous things with that in mind. And I agree with you. I think there's more money on the lower end because when I started lowering my prices this Q4, more units were selling than ever. It was like double the amount I was selling, just for pricing under market and or things I had listed higher and playing the wait game, just lowering it slightly. I mean, I think people have things on their watch list. They get alerts. They're on a budget, so they're only searching for stuff worth X dollars. That's not to say they won't spend higher than that. They will. It's just those amount of customers are much smaller than the ones on the other end of the spectrum.
So the only difference, when we really think about how my business will look different, I'm still scanning everything. I'm still going to be looking for better sources. I'm going to be going further out this year. Everybody should send me, I don't know, I should get certificates in the mail or awards, trophies for being willing to drive a little bit further because everybody knows I'm kind of stuck in my ways when it comes to my sources. But even then, I have revolutionized that this year. So I'm just going to be taking faster moving, a little bit lower profit items. And in the reselling realm, it's not exciting, right? If me and Johnny just did a podcast talking about how you can just turn a dollar into $2, like that doesn't excite people, Johnny. Like nobody's going to listen. But at the end of the day,
Just do it 1 million times.
if you can do it quicker, right? Because the lower profit items that we're going to be sending are much faster moving items. So you have the compound interest kind of working in your favor. But it's still not exciting to hear people talk about that in the reselling space because we're only concerned about the gold bars, right? Like the most expensive item I sold all year was $348.98. Like that's nothing. Like I'll guarantee you, probably everybody you included in the group have sold an item more expensive than that, but you don't have to, you shouldn't rely on the gold bars, I guess, is the thing. When they happen, they're nice, but you need to be focused on where the money is, and that's sell through. Double your money endlessly as much as you possibly can. The risk, there's no risk if something has a sell through on Amazon. I mean, maybe 1%, 2% risk, but even then you can come back and still lower it and break even. I just see the potential there. Yes, it'll require me prepping more units, but the prep's kind of negligent in Amazon. Sure, if the disc is beat up, I got to run it through for 10 seconds, but that's like a once every 2 weeks ordeal for me. I just think the cash flow that comes from faster moving items has made such a huge difference in my business this quarter four when I really started diving in and manually repricing all of my stale inventory that was sitting there for more than 6 months. The amount of that stuff that I've sold that otherwise would still be sitting there, it's well over $10,000. It's probably closer to $20,000 from the end of September to the end of this year, and stuff that was stale inventory that I lowered the price. And instead of getting my $7, $8, well, I'm not getting it because it's sitting there. It's costing me to sit there. I'm actually getting, $3 to $5 in profit into my bank account. Dude, I can't say enough good things about it. It's literally bumped my payouts, almost 1.5x.
Right. And I want to talk a little bit about disc media here. When you do a box of disc media, how many boxes of books would that one box of disc media be? To me, I can, at max, it's probably like 180 CDs or DVDs I can cram into any single box. Now, a box of just paperbacks, we'll say that, the little small mass markets, I could, it's about 60. So one third the amount at best case book scenario. Now, that's not to say there aren't box sets with both CDs and DVDs, and so that number can be a little skewed back and forth, but you can do about three times as much in a single box. And does that single box take you longer? Yeah, on a box by box analysis, but the mental switching back and forth of completing a box, doing another one is far less. So it's actually worth more of your time investment to do a single box of 180 than doing, I don't know, three boxes of 60, honestly. And I think it's a bit more streamlined because, again, the units are basically the same dimensions. Books,
Oh, yeah,
not
dude.
necessarily the case most of the time. You're gonna have your big coffee table books, your little mass markets, the little weird handle book you pull with a lever and it makes farm animal noises. So there's a little bit more thinking involved, even on packing the box, either if you're a pre-packer or a post-packer of the box. It's the efficiency isn't there in books unless you force it. You make systems in place to force it to be a bit more streamlined. CDs and DVDs, very little thinking. In video games, if you're doing video games, I'm excluding consoles from that statement. But it's just a lot more streamlined, in my opinion, and optimized.
Yeah, I think this year has been kind of eye-opening for a lot of resellers. Resellers here realized I either need to treat this like a real business and buckle down and start making some serious money, or I need to go away. For the most part, there's still a lot of people clinging on to something that ain't there, right? Like, ooh, I'm hanging on to this business just so I can say I'm a reseller. I will say this, a lot of resellers, some of my people I've been subscribed to on YouTube that resold or no, they no longer exist. I have no idea what happened to them. Maybe they still resell and they just stopped doing YouTube, which 100% don't think any YouTube resellers are making, more money than their reselling business, at least not that I know of. So it's been a
There's
year.
never a we're closing shop video for these people. They're just gone all of a sudden. There's no goodbye. There's no thank you for your time. I'm heading elsewhere. I think Sabrina did one, to be fair. We had her on, but she's
Yeah.
still working. She's still doing it part time, but we know what she's doing. We're aware.
Yeah.
Everybody else is just like ghost, gone, bye.
It's hard for me to reconcile, but everybody's situation's different, right? Like everybody's got different overhead. Everybody has different commitments. Talked about it in the beginning how my personal life has just been absolute garbage second half of this year. So everybody has different commitments, and I think realization that you're either going to take this seriously, or that's in a part-time manner or a full-time manner, because taking it seriously doesn't mean you have to be full-time. because we got plenty of part-timers that knock it out the park that just treat it like an actual business. I think that's been the biggest mind shift, I think, over the years. People are either going away or people are stepping up. You're always going to have the people in the middle that just kind of like they're hanging on to the door as the Titanic sinks, and it's just a matter until the door just goes under, right? And then there's always going to be people like that in any aspect of the business. There's always going to be the negativity. But I think this year has been good and kind of thinning out the herd and making people realize what do they want from this and making a choice, forcing people's hands with slow sales to decide, am I going to double down on this or am I going to step away from this? I think that's been a good thing because making a decision left or right is still better than not making a decision at all. So I think it's been good in that kind of aspect of it.
Yeah, I mean, there's gonna be very few people who are like, I'm great with the slow sell through rate. You got to have some extra income coming in somehow, some way to survive that more than a marathon. That's like running two marathons back to back. If you're the slow sell through rate person, it's doable, but you got to have some padding there somehow, some way. You're financially well off already, or you're planning on never to quit your day job. Honestly, you can make a go of that, but I think there's a lot easier things to do by just making a couple business model adjustments, honestly. And I think as a whole, when we start, we consume information, we're taking it all in, but I'm not sure the follow through is there by doing what's being explained to people. And that's where I think they're getting in the struggle bus mode is they did part of what was told to them, but not all of what was told to them. And they're stuck and they're asking why. And then they get told the same information again and they still don't make the changes. A few months roll by, I'm still stuck. Well, it's the same answer what was given to you 3 months ago. Why haven't you done it? Well, I don't think it'll work. Why? Why don't you try? Just attempt.
It's information overload, Johnny. You have to realize that everywhere you look, there's going to be information and in reselling, and a lot of it is flashy. A lot of it is, the big numbers you people see, and we're even guilty of this because we have
Oh, I'm
branded.
guilty of this. There's been times I haven't listened to Jared. And every time I decide to listen to Jared, you know what? My business does better. Or I don't listen to tech, and then I all of a sudden I listen to tech. My business does better. It's funny how that goes.
Yeah, but it's the same way if you look at it the other way, right? If somebody asks us a question about something, maybe we're guilty of not explaining all of the details in the best manner because we're sitting here like, really? This is what you're worried about? Like, how many times have we talked about how to get the buy box? Like, how many times can we lay out the baby steps of the buy box, right? Like,
Oh yeah, I'm totally jaded at this point. I'm a disgruntled old man. I don't got time for your young whippersnappers with your BS questions that's been asked a million times to me. And you're right, I don't give the full thoroughness, every bullet point explanation to the question I've answered a million times. I'm like, no, don't do
But you're
it.
not obligated to, right?
I'm
Like you're
not
not
obligated to.
obligated to. Like
Exactly.
it works both ways. But with all the information that's out there, the ability to be able to reach out to a larger reseller has never existed like it has in today's realm. So it is good for people that are new or people that are trying to grow the business. It's been a tough year for a lot of people trying to get over the hump of turning this from a side hustle into their full-time job. That just comes with growing pains and lots of sacrifice. And we kind of talked about sacrifice many, many moons ago on an episode. There are things you have to trade off to grow this business in the beginning, and time is one of them, unfortunately. And I'll be the first one to tell you, I am in no, like Johnny calls me at 1 a.m. or like not even 1 a.m. He calls me after 11 p.m. and like I'm his one call from jail. It's going to voicemail because I'm long gone, and I
He
know a
won't
lot.
answer. I've tried. I've been
I
in jail
know a lot
last
of you
year.
out there are like burning the midnight oil. You got the kids, you got the commitments. And I'm just here to tell you that it doesn't have to be that way forever. And you should be working towards kind of growing your revenue and then making changes to get your time back because that's your most valuable asset you have. And yes, it might suck today that while the kids are asleep, you got to go list items, or you got to go take care of a loved one, and then you still got to list items when you get back home and it's 11 p.m. But our goal in reselling should be to scale this and either step back, and by stepping back, hiring employees, or stepping back in a way of you stepping back because you refine your processes, you're getting better inventory, so you're spending less time actually within the business.
Yeah, now an individual I've seen really busted out this year, and he's in this group. And I'm gonna say his name. He'll probably won't watch this video. So Sigil, I've been watching him work a lot because every time I see him on a call, he's always working. He's going back and forth. You just see him processing this and this. His business has never been better. He's just grinding it out. But he's made improvements to his business. I mean, I've talked to him a little bit and he's refined a little bit. He's talked to other people and refined it, but he's constantly doing that over and over again. He's constantly moving. And I wish I was his age. I really do. Because I remember that, like working just like that, grinding it out, even before reselling. And that's what it takes. And I think he's already successful, but I think he's going to be even more successful in the next few years to come by just these little micro adjustments, but then dialing the volume on doing it to scale. And it's just been very impressive to watch him grow this year.
I think with him, I think he had the hustle in him before he
He
started, right?
always had
Because
that. Yeah, exactly.
you could just tell, like he reminds me of myself. Like he's just out there trying to make ends meet, and like he's a musician, so you know how that is—the starving artist mentality. Like you got to be out there trying to get things done. And for him, he said this. I didn't say this, so everybody can yell at him for it. But I do think there is—it's 100% true. He said a lot of resellers don't want it enough. And I think he's right, because reselling spun up in a way where, you see somebody like me who's out here like 20 hours a week and I'm doing all this money, right? Like people like see that and they're like, ooh, that's what I want.
Yeah, but you went through a decade of refining your process. That's the difference.
Yeah, but that's irrelevant, dude. They don't see that, right? They don't see or hear that. And I think he was right when he hit it on the head on the weekly call, and he's just like, I think you gotta really want this. You gotta want this to work. You gotta be willing to put in the time and the effort. So yeah, I mean, that's what this boils down to. And we've had plenty of eBay sellers, successful eBay sellers, come on that are just absolutely knocking it out of the park. So we all know, everybody knows I'm jaded with eBay because I see people doing good and I'm like, well, if they can do it, anybody can do it. And I think that's kind of the big takeaway for this year. Maybe that's like the mantra for 2024, is realizing that if somebody can do it, then you can do it. There's nothing stopping you from being the number one seller on eBay or having the warehouse and the Amazon. Sure, it's going to take time, but if you're smart and you grow your business in a way that makes sense financially and personally, then you can achieve anything reselling.
Absolutely. And he's a perfect example of what people take out of context when I say work harder. He works harder, but he does it smarter every time. Like he'll take the information and then crank it up to 10 and just I'll do this for 12 hours a day, this little piece of information. And then he'll eat the fruits of that labor. Some people don't have that mentality. It doesn't even come down to time, really. It's just sticking to it. And doing above and beyond. And he's absolutely right. I don't think a lot of resellers want it enough. And I think they love the idea of it. And the point A to point B rocky path with thorns and you're in socks and everything is out to get you and shove you over and the wind's blowing and it's negative 10 degrees. Not a lot of people want to walk that path when they start. They may start, but they're going to turn back after about a mile. And maybe that's a wise decision for them because if you're going to turn back now, you're not going to turn back later. Or you're going to turn back later. And it's going to be much more devastating when you do that. You go out of business, you'll be in negative money. Maybe you decide to go off the path and on your own little path and you fall to your death. A
Yeah.
metaphoric death.
When you said Rocky, I thought you were going to start talking about, like, how he had to fight Apollo Creed and Mr. T and then the Russian, Tommy Gunn.
Oh, man.
That's just my Philly coming out of me, being a Rocky kid, basically. I think
Yeah.
you're right, though. I think it forces your hand. And I think forcing your hand, it might feel like it sucks in the moment, but I think in the long term, whenever your hand is forced and you have to make a decision, A or B, you're going to reflect on that in 3, 6, maybe a year, depending on how big of a decision it is. And you're going to, every single time, you're going to say, I'm glad I made that decision, right? Like, I'm glad, whether it was for the good or the bad, when you made that decision in your mind, because you're like, you're not just making a decision to make it. You're going to think to yourself, well, this is either going to be good or this is going to be bad. But when you reflect that you actually made the decision, It doesn't matter what it was, whether it turned out to be the dumbest or the smartest decision, you're going to look back and say, I'm glad I decided to do this or go that way instead of that way.
Right. I mean, the simple act of even making a decision versus staying in the status norm of whatever your norm is. I think staying in the status norm, unless you have climbed the top of the mountain and you're at the top of the mountain already, maybe status norm, let's not rock the boat here. But not a lot of people are at that point. And when you stay the status norm and you aren't making it or you're not cutting ends meet, well, I'm here to tell you that every year, prices go up. So staying the same will hurt you. You got to be making more than what you were year after year after year just to account for simple inflation of cost of living. I mean, I don't know about you. The last few years going to the grocery store, I squint at the price of milk and meat and all the other necessities of life, right? And it's like, man, I'm sounding like an old man, but I'm not. I'm less than 40 years old. I'm like, man, I remember when gas cost less than a dollar. Or man, I remember when milk was $1.25. It's close to $5 now. It's ridiculous.
For me, look at a dozen of eggs. You used to be able to get a dozen eggs too for a dollar. Now they're like $4 and some change because I just got a dozen the other day. It's crazy. I think you're right. I'm going to wrap it up here with our quote we kind of came up with as we went, and that is, you can be whatever you want to be in the reselling realm. It's just a matter of how you're going to get there, and just know that it's not overnight success. Sure, you might drop into some wonderful products or wonderful bolos where you can make a whole lot of money. But you have to realize we need consistent, long-lasting relationships. This year is gone. Now, you get in the idea of, well, oh, don't think you're just all of a sudden going to be this brand new person come 2025, because that's never the case, right? Sure, we have goals for next year, which we'll talk about in next week's episode. But just don't think because the year changes a number that all of a sudden your business, if you're doing the same shit, is all of a sudden going to be absolutely different. If anything, if you're still doing the same stuff, and it's not getting you results now, the results are only going to keep. It's going to be that slow burn into the oblivion. But yeah, we appreciate you listening. We'll talk to you all in next week's episode.
Thanks for listening to another episode of the Resellers Mindset Podcast. Today's full episode and all previous episodes are available to all YouTube members, along with the weekly Zoom call and private Discord. Head on over to youtube.com/theusedbookguy and consider joining for as little as $2.99 a month.